Hi, my name is George McGovern, Director of Athletes in Action in the New York metro area. Athletes in Action is a global pioneer and servant leader in sport ministry. AIA staff and volunteers have shared the gospel with athletes, coaches, and sports fans around the world. Locally, Athletes in Action staff are training godly professional and collegiate athletes to do the same. Whether it's a father-son breakfast, a sports clinic, or a school assembly, AIA creates opportunities for athletes to share the good news. For more information, go to our Athletes in Action link at tandemradio.com.
Jobs and the economy. Are these the most pressing issues for Americans today? Turn USA has the answers, and you can be part of history as our grassroots movement stimulates the economy. Whether you need a job or want to start a new business, visit us at TurnUSAround.com. The strength of America depends on the well-being of her people, and quality, thriving businesses creating new high-paying jobs is what we need the most. Join Turn USA as we help people get the start that they deserve. Find jobs, business opportunities, scholarships, and much, much more at our website, TurnUSAround.com, where helping yourself can help others. You're listening to Tandem Radio, the good news on business, live right here on the Bridge FM radio network. Call into our show at 1-800-575-9564 or visit us on our website at tandemradio.com.
There are times in life when everyone needs a caring attorney they can trust. As your lawyer, I will always treat you with the utmost respect, honesty, and care when representing your legal needs. The Law Office of Judith Amorsky handles criminal, municipal, civil, and family matters, business needs, real estate, and estate planning. I also handle debt reduction and bankruptcies. To make an appointment or to speak with me directly, call Judy Amorsky at 732-683-1227 or follow the link to my website at tandemradio.com.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, has become a worldwide Christian sports ministry. The vision of FCA is to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches. In 1956, 256 high school students went to the very first FCA camp in Estes Park, Colorado. Last summer, we had over 48,000 athletes and coaches attend FCA camps all over the country. For more information, go to our FCA link at tandemradio.com.
Well, welcome back to tandemradio.com live. This is Glenn DeLakin, your host, along with Peter Grandich, and we're excited to have our guest Brian Recton with us today. Just want to remind you that the phones are now open at 800-575-9564. That's 800-575-9564. It's a toll-free number. Feel free to call in with your questions about life or business, and we'd love to chat with you and give you an opportunity to get your questions answered. We have several segments on the show that we're excited about, and the next segment is one that's right in Peter Grandich's alley, and he's going to talk to you a little bit about it, so I'm going to open it up to him. Peter?
Thank you, Glenn. This is the time when we're going to spend a few minutes talking about the economy, where it's at, but since this is our first show, just to give you a little fast background on my view, as I noted at the beginning, I still write a financial blog, and I still provide commentary to the media and such. And in late 2007, in fact, just a few days after the U.S. stock market made its all-time high, I issued back then, Glenn, recall, probably the most dire forecast I made in 25 years. I called it an economic upheaval coming, because I had been writing, although had not turned bearish yet on the market, that America literally was robbing Peter to pay Paul, and Peter was tapped out. If I said that 1,000 times, enough times. And so I not only told people to sell everything except that was related to precious metals, but I also actually suggested people short the stock market. And as we know, we hit it. We literally came and faced the abyss, an economic abyss in 2008. But then in early 2009, literally a day before the market bottom, I felt, although this stimulus was not going to be very useful, the amount of money that was being thrown in the American mind at the time, that there would be a relief rally or a rebound. Unfortunately, something called false hope, but the market could recover for a while and get to the June-July period of 2010. And now that was a year before that time frame. But I felt we could get back to this time frame, and then we would have round two, which would be the second part of the storm. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be just as bad. It won't be as severe in as short of a period, Glenn, but it will be an economic period where it will be very difficult to move forward. And the main reason is simply this, Brian, and you may appreciate this as mm-hmm. a business. I like to tell everybody that my dad was raised in Hell's Kitchen, which is the west side of Manhattan. He had three siblings at a 400 or 500 foot apartment in a coal-burning, you know, environment. And my grandfathers I never met. So I always said that they came back in pre-Christian days. They came back to my huge home in Millstone on 5 acres, 5,000 square foot home. And my grandfather would come and see this. And now, not 30, 40, 50 years ago, no one had 5,000 square foot homes, which are very common now. And he would ask all the reasons why I had it, and I would explain all the reasons, and he may or may not buy into it. But then we'd take a walk on Route 9 or Route 33, and he'd see a sign and say, public storage. And he'd say, grandson, what is that? And I said, oh, Grandpa, people like me with the big 5,000 square foot home, we pay guys there to keep stuff there that we can't keep back there. Well, here's the simple answer, America. We have too much stuff.
Yep.
Our parents and grandparents didn't need public storage. We've been whined. There's a false premise, Brian. It's been my argument for years that Wall Street and Madison Avenue, knowingly or unknowingly or somewhere in between, conspired to teach the secular world that more money equals more happiness. Mm. And so people have been literally killing themselves and buying stuff thinking it would bring more happiness. And America's going to have to take several steps back, or literally go back to the way our parents and grandparents lived, and economically and otherwise, before any real changes can come. It's no Democratic answer. It's no Republican answer. It's simply that we lived way beyond our means, and just as we lived and put on too much weight, we can't take it off in 6 months. So the bottom line, my view in the economy right now is we're petering out again. I don't think we're going to fall off a cliff this time because there was enough stimulus, although not spent properly, put into the system. And I think the Federal Reserve is going to keep doing that. But I just don't see any great opportunity for a strong economy across the board. So my suggestion is you're in the foxhole, you know, plan to stay there a while. Get used to it, and it's not all that bad, because if we have to go back, our parents and grandparents managed to live without all these crazy stuff and things that we've been told now that we need to be happy. And I think once America moves towards that, then we can see real change. But until that time, Glenn, I don't see it happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the key, Peter. And it's so important, because I think, you know, no matter where we are in the economy, there's always people that make money. Mm-hmm. Somebody in my town, as a matter of fact, just sold his franchise for $25 million. So I'm sure he's feeling pretty good right now. But the point is that there's always opportunities out there, and that we have to seek them. And it's clear, Jeremiah 29:11, right? I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and mm-hmm. not to harm you. So I want to go back to Brian, since we have him here. And that's a great segment, Peter. And I know you have another segment coming up soon in the next quarter that's going to be a lot of fun. So we have a special guest on the phone that'll be calling in a few minutes. But Brian, let's go back to what we were discussing. You had mentioned before about your favorite book, and your life book is Philippians. After you came into ministry, did that change at all? Did you have a new perspective on the Bible, or a different look, or a different book that was you favored for ministry as opposed to business?
Excuse me. I'm going to say no. I think, and this is going to sound, you know, I'm not meaning this to sound boastful. I think I just realized my utter dependence on the Lord, maybe more than I ever did before. When I was in business, I always felt like I was, you know, an ambassador for Christ disguised as a promotional marketing guy.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so I was involved in ministry. I was involved in the life of my church. I shared my faith. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to pray with people and see them come to faith in Christ. But when I made the transition, you know, of course, as soon as you make that kind of a transition, you have a big target painted on your back. So I did feel the attacks from the enemy more greatly. So it probably drove me more to the Word of God. And of course, we're all on a pilgrimage with that. No one has arrived where, you know, we can never, you know, pray enough, read enough, study enough, fellowship enough. But you know, the more that I find myself doing that, the more I'm able to handle those attacks and you know, keep a level head about the challenges of life and ministry.
That's great. Well, You know, it's amazing because you could take that transition and follow it through, but God kept you consistent and kept his word consistent to you, which we know God's word is always consistent. Brian, let's talk a little bit about balancing life and business. You know, it's we have family, we have business. I had heard one time that life is like three balls juggling in the air. You have family, God, and business. And I'm told that there, in this example, that business and God are rubber balls and the family is a crystal ball. So be careful which one you drop. And occasionally we do drop the ball, right?
Yeah, well, and of course, the importance of that analogy are the keeping those three balls in proper order.
Yes,
and it always has to be God first.
Amen.
And then it has to be family second. Business, you know, comes in third, and I could argue that others come in even well, business probably is third. Others, you know, we have to have other people involved in our lives too.
Sure.
You know, we have to be others-centered, others-focused. But, you know, if God isn't first, then the relationship with family isn't going to work. And if business is before family, that's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
So, you know, everybody, you know, has to understand that they're, you know, my wife has to be my first ministry, you know, before my job. And I can look back at the first year that I was, you know, made the transition to the Bridge and say that, you know, probably because of my own, you know, need to get in and dig in deep and learn a lot about radio because that was all new to me.
Right.
You know, I probably was out of balance that first year and it did create some challenges. So, you know, we were fortunately through that period and my wife didn't throw frying pans at me during that period, but there was definitely a transition period. I said it earlier, it's not for the faint of heart. You really have to know that it's God in it, you know, before you do it.
Well, Brian, I just like to tell listeners, because I feel I'm not the only one that's guilty of this, and that is I at one time felt that if I did my business as much as I could, work as hard as I could,
right,
then I can take care of both God and family. And you're right, you can't.
Right.
I focused so much on the business and then thinking, well, if I make enough, I can give enough and I can provide enough. And when in reality is I became so focused on the business, I lost what was most important. And I think that's why I failed at that time.
And, you know, if money was the answer, I often think of this, you know, because, you know, and you said it earlier, and I confess there was a period in my life where, you know, money, you know, was really the focus. And, you know, if money was everything, then we wouldn't read nearly every day in the paper of somebody, a wealthy person on drugs, a wealthy person committing suicide, a wealthy person's marriage, second marriage, third marriage falling apart. I mean, money is definitely not the answer.
I hear you. And we're going to pick up on this topic. You're listening to TandemRadio.com with Glenn Galakian and Peter Grandich. And our special guest today, Brian Recton, talking about business and ministry. And our phone lines are open at 800-575-9564.